35 years, going on 46. And we give God praise. Amen. Got something special that we're going to be sharing with you today. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 is where we will find our scripture for today. And we're actually looking at one verse of scripture. Mark 2 and verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Amen. You may be seated. I want to share just a thought today. When God sees our faith, this is a continuation of what we had spoken on last Sunday, trying to encourage us as we go through this journey of what we call life. This element of faith is more than positive thinking, is more than just saying, "I hope things will work out." This faith is something that God recognizes. He recognizes our faith, and that faith is rewarding. It has a reward in it. And what we need to do is to pay attention to God and pay attention to his word so that he can bless us. Amen? So we're going to talk about that when God sees our faith. Shall we pray? God, we thank you again for this marvelous opportunity that we have to celebrate who you are and to celebrate your goodness, all of the amazing things that you have done in our lives. We pray that you would use me now. Help me, Lord, as I bring forth the word. I pray you'd bring out the things that I've studied, and even more than that, the things that the Spirit would have us to say. Lord, we just give you honor and glory for all of these things. We pray in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all the church said, amen. So when Jesus saw these four that had lowered the man down in front of him, he looked at them and saw their faith. Then he said to the one who was paralyzed, "Your sins are forgiven you." Isn't that interesting? Some of us would probably have said, "Well, your request has been granted. You are healed." But instead, Jesus looked deeper. He saw deep into the need of that individual and said, "Your sins are forgiven you." I'll deal with that in just a minute, but I want us to notice something very specific about this verse. He saw their faith. Have you ever wondered what faith looks like? I know it's hard for us to see spiritual virtues, and you say, "Well, you can't see these things. You can't see love either," but you know when you got it. You can't really see joy, but you know when you have it. There are a lot of things that you can't see, and yet you can possess them, and you can give evidence that they are real because you are expressing them. These four did something that Jesus recognized. Here he was preaching to the multitude, telling them about Christ. He's in the town of Capernaum. A host of people have not only gathered around the house, but they're in the house, so much so that no one could even get in to get close to Christ. These four had brought this man. We don't know the distance. The scripture does not tell us the details of that, but we do know that they carried him to that house to see Jesus and to bring him to the Lord, but they couldn't get in. Rather than giving up, they found a new way. They said, "We're going to go up to the roof. We're going to raise the roof. And we're going to find Christ. We're going to lure our friend, perhaps even our relative. We're going to bring them to Jesus." Now, let me just pause right there, because it should be our mission. Should be our mission to bring people to Christ. Am I right? Am I right? People need the Lord. We expect them, "Well, why can't they just find him? He's everywhere. That's not that easy. Sin blinds the eyes of people. It causes them to think that what I'm doing now is going to be what I'm always going to do. And we realized a long time ago that your sin will find you out. We realized a long time ago that the sins you commit, really, they end up in death. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It also says in Romans 3 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. So people have a choice. You can either live with your sin or find new life through Jesus Christ. And isn't it amazing that they came all that way, wanted their friend to find Jesus, but they could not get in because of a great crowd? Many of us would have said to ourselves, well, I've done everything I could. I've really exhausted myself getting this far, and I'll just leave him here and hopefully somebody else will take care of him. They did not settle with that. They continued their pursuit, and that's what real faith is all about. Real faith continues its pursuit of God until it says, Lord, my soul is satisfied. I have received what I sought after. I found Christ, which is the whole essence of faith. Now, you might get a blessing from God, but if you don't get Christ, you've missed the whole point. Everything should point to Jesus. Everything should point to our trust and our belief in Christ. And I want to tell you this, the main thing that you need from God, more than the miracles, more than the financial breakthroughs, more than a good future, more than a good job, the main thing that you need from God is the forgiveness of sin. Now, why is that important? Sin separates you from God. You might say to yourself, well, I'm a good person. I don't think I'm really that bad. Well, maybe in your own eyes. But when you look at it from God's standard, everyone has come short of the glory of God. And so we got to find God in order to get that forgiveness from God. And once you've got that forgiveness from God, you're free. You're free. As we move through this, we'll find out what it is to talk about this real faith in God and how that we need to find Christ, not only for ourselves, but perhaps for somebody else. It's easy to get absorbed into our own world, our own little world, and think, well, I'm the only one going through a struggle. You're not the only one. And I might be sharing with somebody online, you're not the only one that's going through trials. The reason why many of us have gathered in this church on this day is because somebody needs something. Every one of us in this building, we have a need that we know that only God can meet that need. And we're okay with that. We're okay with the fact that God has given us this precious gift that now you and I can seek him not only for ourselves, but also for someone else. What a blessing it is for us to come to this altar or to go to God in prayer in your own home and say, God, I need you, but there's somebody down the street or there's somebody in my family that I want to bring to you. I want to bring them to you so that they can receive a blessing in their life. And I'm going to tell you something. There are two blessings to that. Not only will God bless them, but he'll bless you. Not only will God hear their request, but now he also hears your request so that you can receive more strength, more grace, more revelation of who God is and what God can do in your life. Faith, I've said many times, has two benefits. It helps you to find God, but then after you find God, you got more of God in your life, more confidence, more courage, because you can look back and say, well, I know where he brought me from. I know how he delivered me. I know how God was my strength. I've been reading this week as the late Dr. Charles Stanley has been talking about these experiences that you have with God. How many of y'all ever had them? It could have been a dream. It could have been sometimes where the Holy Spirit came upon you and moved in a mighty way to where you now have this special experience that he had. Now, see, he said, now, it's not a replacement for God's word. You don't ever want to do that. You don't ever want to set aside God's word and just go on experience. So you always want to treasure that, because this is what God has said to us, and it won't change. Your memory of your experience, that'll change. Some of us are getting older now, so some of our early experiences, we've almost forgotten about them. But you cannot forget God's word. But his point was this. When you go through those moments, God wanted to stir your faith. God wanted to move upon your life in a mighty way to show you that he is real. You read about him in the book, but then all of a sudden you encounter something that he said in the book that now it's taking place in your life, and it builds that confidence. What we're talking about in the Bible is real people. You're not talking about people that didn't have trials, that didn't have struggles. All of them had these things. And yet, they were given this gift of faith, that if you trust God, he'll make a way in your life. If you believe in his word, even the impossible things that you're facing right now, if you keep your trust in God, he will lead you to what Jeremiah calls an expected end. We're not looking at what we're going through right now. We're looking at where God is leading us to. And you and I know, even in this messed up world that we're living in, even in this world of political confusion and economic uncertainty, even in this world, we know that this is not our destination. We got a place that we're going called heaven. It's a marvelous place. Jesus wrote about it. Oh, he spoke about it. The prophets wrote about it, so that we could believe. And Jesus said, where I am, there I want you to be also. Is that good enough for you? Amen, somebody. So what is it about our faith that we need to pay attention to? There are a couple of questions that we probably need to ask ourselves. And one of them is, what does the act of faith mean to God? Now, you're on this end of it, and you're saying to yourself, all I need is the Lord to work a miracle and put some more money in my bank account, right? Or do this physical thing in my life, and certainly he can do that. But my question is, what is your act of faith really demonstrating to God? In this text, these four that had borne this man up, that had carried him to Jesus, it said he saw their what? Faith. He saw their faith. So what did that say to Jesus? And how can we have that same kind of faith? And that's the second thing we need to realize or to ask ourselves. Are such acts of faith in existence today? Do I have that same kind of faith? You know, Jesus saw something in this four. I want to know what it is. I want to know what they did that perhaps I need to do so that I can get the same results that they got. Is that a good question? Third question we need to ask ourselves is, lastly, how will we act? How will that faith or that act of faith make a difference in the challenges of our life? The Bible says that the just shall do what? They'll live by faith. They don't go by experience. They've got the experience, and it's there for a reason, but that experience should never be the guiding light of your spiritual life. You ought to be saying to yourself, Lord, what would you have me to do? Because this walk of faith, as I'm going to tell you in just a second, this walk of faith oftentimes means going into strange territory. Let's look at some examples in the Bible, and let's consider some things that happened in their life. Before I get to David, I want to get to his ancestor, Abram. God said to him, Abram, I want you to go out from the place where you are, get from around your family, because I can't bless you around your kinfolk. Which means your family has an influence on you, right? And in Abram's case, it was negative. They were worshiping idol gods. They didn't believe in trusting the true and living God. And so God said to Abram, I want you to get out from among them. Go to the place that I'm going to show you, and there I will make of you a blessing. Did he do it? Yes, he did. He became the example of faith. God didn't even give him a roadmap. You and I have a Bible to go by. Abram didn't even have a Bible. He just followed God. But everywhere he went, he built altars. He said, I'm remembering my God. I'm remembering my God. What was he doing? He was displaying his faith in the living God. And now we get to his descendant, man by the name of David, the son of Jesse. If you go back into David's family, it traces all the way back to this man, Abraham, because God, when he got to the place where God wanted him, he became not just a father of many, but a father of many nations. Pause here. God can do more with you than you think you can do with yourself. Let me say that again. God can do more with you than you even think that you can do. Well, I think I'm doing pretty good. Wait a minute, hold up. That's by your measurement. God wants you to get into a position called faith that he can now take your life and propel it into a new level. He will do it. Why? Because he's God. Now, the reason why he's doing it, it's going to be your good, but his glory. God wants to be glorified in everything that he's created, and that includes you. And you say, well, oh, Pastor, I've made some bad decisions. I've done some things in my life. I don't even deserve for him to even look at me, much less use me for his glory. Let's go back to the man who was lame, paralyzed. Not only was he lame and had the inability to move, that man was full of sin. He had sin so much in his life that had Jesus healed him and not cleansed him of his sin, you know what he would have done? He would have gotten energized, got his feet back, got his leg back, going back to the same thing that he was doing before, and next thing you know, he's paralyzed again. That's how sin operates. Lord, if you get me free from this, I promise you I'll never do it again. And guess what? A couple of months later, here comes the temptation. Here comes the trial. And the next thing you know, you're back into that same old thing. Lord, I know I told you I wasn't going to do it anymore. And now you're back paralyzed. Now you don't know what to do. Why? Because every time you commit a sin, the wages of that sin is death. That's why it was absolutely critical that Jesus said, your sin is forgiven you. Because he couldn't have gone forward in his life without God dealing with that one issue, that one thing that was working in his life and separating him from the power of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when Christ came into his life, he blessed him. But now let's look at how David also had faith in God. What did he do? What were some of the things about him? Shepherd boy, you know, the last of seven sons, and he's there out in the field minding his own business. All of a sudden, this prophet, this preacher, comes up to him, and he anoints him with oil and said that you're going to be the next king of Israel, and the anointing of God is now on his life. What does that mean? Does he just sit back and wait for things to happen? No, there were opportunities that came his way. First of all, when he got out to the battlefield to check on his brothers, he found out that nobody in the camp of Israel would stand up to this giant called Goliath. So what did God do? He stirred him up. He stirred him up. How did he stir him up? He looked back over his life. He said, now, wait a minute. God delivered me from a bear. God delivered me from a lion. And he listened to that giant. He said, you know what? In his spirit, he said, God, I believe that you are able to deliver me from this giant. Did God do it? Yes, he did. But you know what he had to do? He had to go out there on that battlefield. And somewhere as he approached that battlefield, the scripture tells us that he took up five smooth stones, but I believe he took up something else, and it's called his faith. What I'm telling you today is that you got to take up your faith, and you got to say, Lord, I trust in you. I'm facing a battle. I'm going through a crisis. I'm going through a time in my life that I've never been here before, but I believe that you are big enough. And David didn't think to himself, I'm bigger than this giant. I'm better than this giant. No, he said, God, you're bigger than the giant. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go out here believing that you're going to help me and give me the strength to conquer whatever it is I'm facing. Ladies and gentlemen, you got a battlefield. You got things that you're going through right now, and you're saying to yourself, if God doesn't help me, I'm not going to win this battle. But if God gives me strength, I know that I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. You got to believe that. The second thing about David is that it becomes a model in our faith. He served God. He served God. You think about a server, you know, you go to a restaurant, you got this server, they come out, and sometimes they're nice, sometimes they're rude. And sometimes they're, you know, can I help you? That depends. Or sometimes they're very courteous. How are you? Glad you come out, and I'm so happy to serve you. My name is such and such. And what can we start off with today? And it almost thinks, you know, you almost think to yourself, man, where'd you come from? All the rest of the time, I get, you know, whomever. What it means to serve God is to have the right attitude. How did the Bible say we should serve God? Serve the Lord with gladness. I've often said, you know what I'm tempted to do? Our next building project in this church is put a great big old mirror and let you all see your faces. And you know, if I see it, God sees it. Part of your service is to enter into worship. We're to enter into his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We're to be thankful unto him and what? Bless his name. Why? Because the Lord is good. There ought to be an excitement about us, an electricity about us that becomes contagious. Other people say, well, what are you all doing? I'll share this with you. I got saved over in South Korea, and I'm talking about the group that I got saved with. They were fired up. They were fired up. And they believed so much in the power and the presence of God that anytime they got together, they would start praising. They'd just erupt. A bunch of us guys, us soldiers, we just got together and we just loved Jesus. Hey. So we decided we're going to have a fellowship luncheon. And I mean, we got so carried away with what we were doing, the Korean nationals who were serving us, they came in and they looked at the tea and said, you know, they were saying to one another, taste this. You know, they wanted to know, was it something in the tea? Then he said, taste the food. Was something? No, it wasn't something in the tea. It was something on the inside working on the outside. And guess what? Because of our joy that we were expressing, that waitress said to us in Korean, I want what you got. If you got Jesus and if he's giving you that kind of joy, I want that joy. The way that we witness to the world is that we show and we share in our service that we're glad to be in the service just one more time. And David expressed that in everything that he did. Whether it was in battle, whether it was in leading the nation of Israel, he expressed that love. Did he have faults? Did he have problems? Oh, yes, he did. And guess who else got problems? You and me. But God looks beyond your fault and he sees your need. He looks beyond the things that you can't do and he says, you know what? I love you enough that I'll offer my forgiveness and my grace so that you can continue on in faith. Never look back over your life and said, I've been so good, I deserve to go to heaven. Well, I guess what? You're gonna surprise yourself, but you better get your fan ready because... Woo, gets hot down there. All right, let me move on. The other thing is that David loved God. Unequivocally, he loved God. So here's this thing of faith. We got faith that's going to be good in battle. It's going to help us in our service to God. But now here's, it says that Jesus saw their faith. Isn't that what the scripture says? Jesus saw their faith. So I've also learned that God is looking for those who will have faith. He's actually searching for those that have faith. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. In other words, he knows everything anyway. He is omnipresent, everywhere, at all times, and he's God. So this God who is omnipresent, what does he want to do? He wants to find those who are in the earth showing forth this thing that we call faith. As it says in the Bible, that God's Spirit, he said this to a king called Asa in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. I didn't put it in my notes, but that's an important verse that all of us need to read if we want to find out, is God looking for something? God is looking for this thing called faith. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those, watch this, in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. If you go back and look at that verse, that message came to King Asa. And what was King Asa doing? He was relying on help from other people rather than relying on the power of God. And the prophet came to him and said, Asa, you've done something that is wrong. You've committed a sin. God wanted you to trust in him. And then he said, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen. And he didn't just say Asa, it said those. So here's God searching the earth. Now, do you think God can find it if it's there? Absolutely. Do you think he's looking for it? Absolutely. Here's the point. What God looks for is not just somebody who's just good at two shoes. You know, I'm just doing what's good. They could be doing it for themselves. God is looking for people who got someone on their shoulder and saying to themselves, I'm going to take this man to Jesus. God is looking for somebody who doesn't mind going on their knees and praying for others, making intercession for them. God is looking for somebody who says within themselves on their job, I could be just doing what everybody else is doing, but instead I'm going to do what's right because I believe in God. God is looking for that kind of person who is saying, God, you're good enough, and God, you're worthy of my life, so I'm going to stay on this path of righteousness and let you lead me. Are y'all here? So here you got God searching, and you got another person that has faith. They're searching. What's going to happen when those two forces collide? It's called a blessing, folk. What's going to happen when the search of God meets the faith that you've got? God's going to bless you. God's going to pour out things in your life, and I'm not just talking about material things. I'm talking about the main spiritual elements that you need to not only survive, but to be more than a conqueror through him that loved you. What God is going to do when your faith meets God searching for you, oh, I'm telling you, it's on now. That's how David could defeat a giant. That's how you can defeat the things in your life. That's how you can rise up from your circumstance and say, you know what? I don't think I'm ever going to. Yes, you are. Why? Because your faith is going to meet with the power and the search of God, and you're going to get an answer. Amen. And when you get that answer, something inside of you is going to say, you know what? I feel like going on. Anybody here? Why? Because that's how much he loves you. Oh, preacher, you just don't know the things that are going on. I'm not worried about the things that's going on in your life. If you love God, And that's what your faith is saying. I really love God. And you know what God is saying? I really love you. When those two forces meet, forgiveness takes place. We come to church every Sunday to meet with God and say, God, I got this little faith. He said, that's enough. That's all I need. You found me. Now let's have fellowship. And I'm telling you, it makes the difference in our life. Couple of things that I'm going to my seat. What did Jesus see in their faith? I've taken you through a couple of scriptures in the Old Testament. Jesus saw something when people had faith. There was this woman that had an issue of blood in the scripture. And she tried to get all of the help that she could, but to no avail. She ran out of money and was slowly running out of time. She heard about Jesus. I said she heard about a man from Galilee. And she said to herself, I don't need to stop him. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. You know what she did? Crowd was gathered around Jesus, everybody holding on to him, but some of them didn't want nothing. I said some of them didn't want anything, but this woman needed something. She needed God to make a way out of no way. And so she came through the crowd with one thing on her mind: I'm going to get to him. Nobody saw her. Nobody recognized her. But when she touched, oh my God, something happened. And when you touch him, something is going to happen. Yeah. James Cleveland said, something got a hold of me. I couldn't hold my peace. Jesus said, wait a minute. I felt something there. Now, being God, he knew who the person was. He knew who it was. But he wanted to call her out because he was telling her, you ain't got to steal the blessing. Touch somebody and say, you don't have to steal it. How you going to steal free stuff? God, how you going to steal something that's free? Better yet, how you going to steal something that's yours anyway? Oh, God. Can I get a witness in here? Folks trying to, if I can just steal. You ain't got to steal. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might find. I told y'all I was going to sit down, didn't I? Y'all got me stirred up. I ain't sitting down now. No. But when you think about that, the same way she found Christ and the same way that the four friends found Christ, that's how we need to express our faith. To simply admit, God, you're my only answer. How many of y'all have gotten there yet? In other words, God, if you don't do it, it can't be done. And then, in the midst of that chaos, you saw God move in just a small way and said, wait a minute. What is this I'm looking at? God started turning it around. He'll turn it around. Your children. Lord knows if you ain't prayed, get some kids. God starts turning them around. You know why? Because you went on your knees and you touched him. And God said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to work it out. I'm going to move in their lives. You just watch me. Oh, it may not come all at once. But the blessing is on its way. I said it's on its way. When you put your trust in God and admit that he is the answer and the only way, God said, now you put it in my hand. Let me take care of it. I learned something the hard way. How many of y'all know that I'm not very good and I'm not very mechanically inclined? Don't raise your hand, because you don't raise your hand. If you want stuff fixed, don't ask me. I do more harm than damage. But one day I admitted that I had to take it to somebody who knew what they were doing. And what I'm telling you is that faith doesn't beat around the bush. Faith says, God, you're the only one that can handle this. Second thing that faith does, as I look at a supporting verse, it says, but without faith, look at this verse, it is impossible. It didn't say it might happen, 5% chance it might happen. It says it is impossible to please God. You're wasting your time if you don't have faith. You are literally wasting your time, and you're wasting his time. But here's the good news. If you got faith, faith's going to work for you. Well, whoever comes to God must believe that he is. And that word he is, it simply means that you got to believe that he is who he is. Not just anybody. He's God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, all powerful, mighty one, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. He's everything. Sum it all up in one word, Jesus.
Amen.
When you come to God, you're saying, Jesus is the one who delivers.
Amen.
And that he's a what? I wish you'd circle that in your Bible. God doesn't make empty promises. He rewards. Ms. Kaplan, won't he do it? He'll reward you. He'll reward you. But you got to have faith. So what else? Faith overcomes obstacles. How many of y'all ever run into these things? You said, I'm going to do something, and it's going to be good. We help a lot of people. And the first thing you know, impossibilities start to line themselves up in your path. How many of y'all have had that happen? Those four that set out from wherever they were, picking up that man, bringing him in, they ran into obstacles. After obstacle, the first thing that's going to happen, if you carry away this guy, let's say this guy maybe had lost a little weight, but he's still weighing about 100 pounds or 120 pounds. And they still got to take the equivalent weight on their shoulders and carry it. How many of y'all been praying for people for a long time? You haven't seen much yet, have you? Release your faith. I said, release your faith, because it's going to happen. God did not bring you this far for you to be disappointed. Release your faith in God. And every time they would get to that obstacle, you know what they would do? They would have the faith enough to step over it. Even with something on their shoulder, they said, you know what? I'm strong in him. I have put on the whole armor of God, and I'm able to stand in this day of evil. Let me just step over this. Let me just keep on. Look at somebody. Tell them, keep on moving. Keep on moving. Overcome those obstacles. They didn't stop. House crowded. Let's go to the rooftop. Find a way to keep praying. I said, find a way to keep praying. If you stay on your knees and say, God, I'm just going to keep calling on you, because I know that you're going to answer my prayer. Then finally, the last thing. Faith is not only that which overcomes obstacles. It's not only that which looks to God as the only answer, but faith rejoices. I know it's not in the text, but can you imagine when Jesus looked up and saw them? And when they saw Jesus, dirt falling all around and everything, and everybody else complained, what in the world are they doing up on that? Whenever you do odd things around the church, church folk look at you like, you crazy? Yeah, I'm crazy about Jesus. Can you imagine what joy filled their heart? what they said to themselves, we found him. We're looking at the Messiah. We believe that he can do it. And they lowered their friend down. And Jesus was really telling them, I see you. I see your faith. I see what you're doing. I see you trusting. I see you believing me. I see you looking at me rather than your problem. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bless whatever it is you need me to do. I'm going to bless it for your sake because you're rejoicing in Christ. I close by telling you that we need to have the attitude of rejoicing. It's not just something where we're going to come together and you know how people try to be a cheerleader. Let's make some noise in here. You ain't at a concert, all right? You're in the house of God. Come on, and come on, let's have a good time in church. Yeah, and all that's well and good, but the intention is to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. I close with this. I remember the first time that I met. I told y'all this before, right? I'm going to tell you again. I remember the first time I met Andrew Young. I'd read about him. I'd heard about him, everything. And he was supposed to be at this event. And I knew that probably the chances of me getting up close and shaking hands with him was probably slim to none. But I had on, Ms. Cavalier, this tie, this tie. It, for the time, it was 80s, right? So this tie, man, this tie was cool. It was so cool. As a matter of fact, on the back of it, it said cool, all right? Andrew Young is coming in, and he's been the ambassador for the United States, and he's done all of this stuff. He's been the mayor of Atlanta. He's been a great leader in the community. William Coleman is just standing in the right place at the right time with the right towel. So Andrew Young turns the corner. He said, man, I love that tie. I started to give it to him, but that was the only one I had. So Dr. Gus Petacolis took a picture of that moment that I had to stand Al with Andrew Young. By the way, I'm taller than him. Do you think I was smiling? Yes. I shook his hand. I said, man, you cool. But I'm also cool because I got this towel. My point is this. Our eyes met. It was a good moment. When your faith makes contact with the living God. The love that you have for him and the need that you have for him is going to be poured out. He's not going to look at you in judgment. Why? Because you're coming to him in faith. He's not going to look at all your faults. As a matter of fact, he looked beyond your faults and sees your need. When your faith looks into the eyes of Jesus, you got the answer that you were seeking. Jesus spoke to that man, and now he speaks to you, and he says, if you seek me, and if you rejoice in me, I'll pour out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. You got something incredible in you because God gave it to you. He wanted you to find him just that much, so he gave you that gift of faith so that while he's searching the world to bless somebody, he blesses you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for your grace and love. I thank you for your power. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us this magnificent gift of faith. And you're still looking for it. There are other people that have it and they don't even realize it, that that faith is going to bring them to the place where they acknowledge their need for you. The people that we've been praying to get saved, God, you're going to give them that gift of faith so that they would believe that you're able to bring them out of darkness and to bring them into everlasting life. God, we just believe it right now. And we thank you so much for your kindness. You didn't owe us anything. And yet you have opened up, Lord, not only the windows of heaven, but the very door of heaven itself, and said, whosoever will, let him come. God, we thank you for that. Bless us as only you can do. And Lord, forgive our sins as we seek others, Lord, and as we try to help them to find forgiveness for theirs. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen, amen. I'm going to ask Brother Bernard, he blessed us with the opening hymn. I'm going to ask, come and help us. And Brother Novell, little song about a woman that exercised her faith. And if you're here today, you've never exercised your faith to believe that God is able. Today's your day. Maybe you're online and you want to have this relationship with Christ. Same faith applies in your life as well. Here's a little song, goes a little bit like this. Whoa, there was a woman in the Bible day. She had been sick so very long. Well, she heard my Jesus was passing by, so she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, what are you trying to do? She said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And oh yeah. So she cried, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And oh yeah. She spent her money here and there till she had no more to spare. The doctors, they did all they could, but their medicine did her no good. Oh, when she touched him, the Savior didn't see. Still he turned around and cried, someone has touched me. She said, it was I who want to touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole. And oh yeah. So she cried, oh Lord, oh, oh my Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Oh, if I could touch the hem of your garment, I know I'll be made whole. How many of y'all have ever been there? When you needed the Lord, said, oh Lord, oh Lord, come on, oh Jesus, Lord, Lord, I need oh you, Lord, I need oh you by Lord, my side. Lord. Oh, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. And oh yeah, keep on crying, oh Lord, oh Lord. I know I'll be made whole. And oh yeah. Gonna give the invitation if there be one today. Maybe you need that touch from God. Maybe you have that faith that God will break through in your life. But you gotta seek him. The Bible says, though that diligently seek him, the altar is open. Whosoever will, let him come. If you got a need, you can bring it to the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, you can come to know him. because he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. Amen. The altar is open.
Oh Lord, oh my Lord, oh Lord, oh my Lord, oh if I could touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. And oh yeah, so she cried, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh if I could touch the hem of your garment, I know I'd be made whole.
How many of y'all learned about faith today? Amen. Now, they usually say, don't try this at home. Try it at home. Amen. Brother Joe is going to close us out in prayer. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we are so grateful, so thankful that you have spoken to us today through your word. Using, O God, your manservant to communicate to us, we do pray as we leave this place, that the Holy Spirit will energize us to share this message to those, dear Lord, who have not heard, so that they too, O God, may receive Jesus as their Savior. We thank you, O God, for giving us now the opportunity to participate in giving back to you, dear Lord, what you have blessed us with. We do pray and ask your blessing, O God, upon this offering, and that it may continue to be used, O God, to bless others. Continue to be used, dear Lord, so that men and women, boys and girls may come to the saving grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. That you just say amen.
Thank you.